John chapter 13 tonight. John chapter 13, we're going to read verses 1 through 12. Before I get going there, men have an unusual bond with men. They do things together that causes them to have a unique friendship, unique relationships. There are things that will draw men closer together, like a father and a son. Things that draw them close together is, as they're being raised by their father, is going out and maybe doing some hunting on occasions when it's the season for that. Having your sons along doing those things. I remember those times as a young person. If it wasn't on a farm field or walking by a railroad track trying to dig up pheasants, we sat on the banks of some lakes or some ponds in our town, and we would gather around and begin to fish, and that would create a unique bond between fathers and sons. And as you grow older, the sons begin to realize the importance of those times and what the father was trying to do back then. And it's just basically a time of trying to connect with their sons. So you begin to appreciate those things. And men have unique bonds with one another. Some will be able to bond through work. I look at my brother Jeff and our uncle Greg, and the bond that they have with one another is very special. The things that they do together, they're fishing partners, they work together, they're putting up a fence at my Uncle Greg's house, and they do these things because of the bond that they have with one another. I had a text this past week that kind of caught me off guard a little bit, that was sent to me by one of my nephews, and I used to work out with him on occasion, 3 to 4 nights a week, and that was a great bonding process. Little did I know that it meant something to him. And that began to, as I read this text throughout this week, my heart got softer and softer towards this. But in the text, it just said, hey, I miss spending time with you. I will go golfing. And he doesn't golf. And so we went out golfing the other night, and we had a tremendous time. Men have special moments in their life where it just brings a great bonding experience. And I can tell you stories of Jordan as well, just bonding with him. He remembers some fishing stories that took place when we were younger. And we're in church, so I'm not going to tell you those stories. We have to be after church. But anyway, just great times. I say this for a reason. Because when you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus and his disciples had a tremendous, tremendous bond with one another. And it shows through Scripture. And what Jesus was showing us in this particular time was, it doesn't matter who you are, take time to be able to connect to people. Jesus is and was the King of this earth. And he took time to connect with his disciples. He took time to show them things. He took time to train them in the short time that he was here upon this earth. And one particular thing that sticks out to me this week is what we'll be looking at here tonight in John chapter 13. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin to read the first 12 verses. Our Heavenly Father, I ask that you just work tonight in your message that you have prepared, laid upon my heart. God, I pray that it will come out according as you would have it to come out. God, I pray that we be challenged from your word. Lord, as I look around, I'm so thankful to see folks that are here. But Lord, there are some that aren't here that should be here. And I pray, Lord, that if they're gone from sickness, that you bring healing to their bodies. Lord, if they're gone just to be home, I pray that you bring them back to us. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. John chapter 13, verse number 1, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, doest thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with thee. Peter, in verse number 9, has a tremendous change of attitude and a different outlook immediately. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should he betray, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said to them, Know ye what I have done to you? We see here tonight a great display of a man being a servant to the people that he loved dearly. A man being a servant to the people that he loved dearly. Jesus spent his entire ministry serving others. His focus was not doing his will, but his focus was doing the will of his Father, which is what it should have been. Hours before his death upon a cross, that great day that he gave up his life for you and for me to have eternity with him, he would have an act of serving that would rather be unusual to a lot of people, especially for a king. You wouldn't expect a king to do this type of service for his people. First, we must understand why this event even took place. I'll give you two reasons. There are more than two reasons, but I'm going to give you two reasons that I believe are important. One is because of his love. You look in verse number 1, it says, Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. So he did this on one account because of his love. The second account, the reason why he did this was because of a great bond that was created during his 3 years of journey with his disciples. There's nothing like a bond between a man and another man when they're together doing things side by side. There's just a relationship that just is formed that is hard for me to even begin to express that very thing. But he had a tremendous bond with all of those men that he was with. Why was this done is a question that we ask, and I ask myself, the washing of the feet. Why was this even done? Obviously, as we look around, men and women today are very well capable of taking care of themselves, which I hope that some take care of themselves. We are given our own needs today that we can take care of, and we should be doing those things. But Jesus here was showing us how we need to treat others. And we need to treat others very carefully at times. This wasn't the first time this has taken place in God's word. If you go back with me in chapter 12 of the verse of John, go ahead and turn back a page. It might even be on the same page you're at now. But it says in verse number 1 of chapter 12, it says, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Now that is a miraculous story in and of itself. Jesus being 4 days late. This is where you see where Jesus wept. And then we see Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. He came forth, began to walk, began to talk. So a great miracle was performed there. Verse number 2 says, There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So again, we are gathered around together at a supper table. Relationships are being formed. I can recall on many different occasions as I was growing up, right on the clock, 5 o'clock every single day except for Sundays, without a doubt, if you're not in your place at 5 o'clock, you're going to be lucky enough to have dinner when you do arrive. But our time at 5 o'clock at our home growing up, that's where we were at as a family. And that was a time for us to get together to catch up with each other because we've been apart from each other throughout the day. And we're able to reconnect with one another. And so that's what supper time does. It's a time of reconnecting and to be able to tell the troubles that you either caused that day or the troubles that you got out of. And begin to have that reconnection. So I could just imagine in my mind that's what was taking place because I believe that they were out busy, they were working, they were either in the fields or doing some things of other importance, and they came around, and here is supper time, they gathered. And then we go down to verse number 3, it says, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of ointment." So this wasn't the first time that this had taken place. This was the second time that we see here in Scripture. But the first time that we see it taking place was the very feet of Jesus being washed. After this was done, you don't necessarily hear the thoughts of Jesus on this, except in verse number 7 and verse number 8, says, "Then said Jesus, let her alone." You see, they were coming after, "Hey, why are you using this expensive ointment? Why are you doing this?" He says, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." So this is the only interjection that you see of Jesus talking about this. Says, "Let her alone this day." So this must have triggered something in the mind of Jesus to come to the defense of Mary for washing his feet. Again, washing the feet of somebody else is not something that you and I would probably think on a daily basis. Matter of fact, it would probably gross many of us out, because most people's feet aren't exactly pretty. They can be ugly. They can, let's just say it's not the best part of them. And so it's not a glamorous thing to do. But this must have triggered something in the mind of Jesus. First of all, let's look at the process of this event. Verse number 3, it says, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard." Mary would take the ointment, but not just any ointment, but very expensive spikenard, to be exact. Spikenard oil is used for a few reasons. I'm going to give you a few reasons. One is for fungi or fungal infections, or you can say athlete's feet. Used for those things. It's used for dandruff. I did not know that. It's used for muscle ache. It's used for joint pain. And it's used for headaches. And these are just to name a few. Why are these so important? Well, this is worth mentioning for this reason. Because these are some things that we don't take in consideration when we look at the life of Jesus and his disciples, why they are here on the earth doing the ministry that they did. So for many years, the transportation for Jesus and his disciples was by foot. And you just have to imagine with me, if you could, in your mind, the pathways that we have today are designed for us to be able to walk without any obstacles in front of us. But back in the time when they were walking, that wasn't necessarily the case. The terrain that is in Israel, that is in that vicinity, is very treacherous, and it's not very desirable to walk upon. so they would get to their destinations by feet. But again, it's hard for us to understand these things because of the era that we live in. Yes, the scenery is very beautiful. You can look on YouTube. You can look up the scenery of the Sea of Galilee. You can look up Nazareth. You can look up Israel. You can look up Jerusalem. You can look up all these destinations, and you'll see nothing but beauty. But you won't see the terrain that they actually walked upon, that they created themselves. When we go on hikes, what do we normally do? If we don't have the attire, we'll probably go to a sporting goods store, and we will go to the sales clerk, and we'll tell the sales clerk, hey, I'm going on this great hike. We're going to be climbing some deep terrain, and I need the proper shoes for this event. And so they'll begin to take us through the process of the best hiking boots that we can put on that day so that we can go and tackle the task that is ahead of us. So if it's not hiking, then we might have another agenda that's upon us. And one of my sports that I love to play is basketball. And so I would go to the sales clerk and I say, hey, I play basketball a lot, and I want the best shoes that I can have. Give me the shoes that would help me dribble better. Give me the shoes that would give me a vertical leap of 24 inches. Give me those shoes because that's what I want. I need every bit of help that I can get nowadays. We even go to the stores to look for shoes specifically for church, wedding events, funerals, things of that nature. So you get the picture here. This wasn't the case for Jesus. What they had, if they had it, was just simple sandals on their feet, and they covered many miles of walking to get to here and to there. So with time, as you would begin to walk this terrain that is there, that is covered in rocks, sometimes it would be covered in boulders, sometimes you would have an animal that would come at you, and you would have to get out of the way very quickly, and you might step on a thorn or a broken branch off to the side. You understand what I'm getting at here. So the feet would take on great abuse, probably at times not even recognizable because of what they went through that day. So I'm trying to create a very real picture of the reason probably why the washing of Jesus' feet took place that day. Things that we don't begin to think about. We just read in Scripture, Mary washed Jesus' feet into story. There we go. But we don't begin to look deep into the situation here. So as they begin to become very unrecognizable, you can imagine what would take place. They would be torn, and they would get cut up along the way. And with possibly tears and cuts, abrasions upon the feet, here's what would set in upon their feet, and infections. A couple weeks ago, I did not know what happened to me. I began to feel this pain in my shin. And it was like a burning sensation. I'm like, what in the world? What's going on here? So what I did, I lifted up my leg, my pant leg, and I noticed that my leg was just cut. It was cut open. I'm like, where in the world did this come from? Is this a process of getting older and my skin just separates for no reason? Is this the aging process? Because if this is it, then I'm not looking forward to the rest of this, because I had no idea how that even got there. And so I did one of the old tricks that I was taught growing up. I got some ointment that I put on it, and that ointment that I put on it was bag balm. I use that for a lot of stuff, Vaseline, things of that nature. And I put it on that night and didn't even bother looking at it for the next couple days. We went to Branson and spent a weekend there, came back home Monday, and I looked down at my shin, and it was cut open once again. It's been 2 weeks, but that thing is finally healed. What happened was I got an infection in there. And I believe during these times, as they would walk these terrains, their feet would get cut. and they would become infected on occasions. Mary, at this time, when she saw Jesus, could someone please tell me in Scripture what she was drawn to as you read this? As you read this, she took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and her attention was where? It wasn't to the face of Jesus, but it was drawn to the feet of Jesus. That's where her attention was drawn to. They must have looked abused. They must have looked tattered. And she, loving him so greatly, would take care of his feet by washing them. Mary doesn't stop here, obviously, because now with the feet having been washed, they are in need of drying. You don't see Mary going to the cupboard as we would on occasions and begin to look for a towel to wipe the very feet that she just washed. What do we see in Scripture that she used? She used her hair. Most of us might be grossed out about this, but that's what she used. She used her hair, very unusual. And that was the very hair on her head. No big deal, right? You think about that, no big deal. But let's dive in a little bit deeper, if we may. Because today we have the ability to wash ourselves immediately when we begin to have bodily odor. And when that begins to come forth, it's like an alarm going off in our body. Hey, we don't want to harm anybody else around, so let's go get cleaned up. But back then, this wasn't the case. They didn't have the shower abilities that we have. Mary obviously knew that it might be a while for a hair washing day to come upon her. But that didn't matter to her. Nor do I believe it was on the very mind of Mary. What was on her mind was serving Jesus. And serving him she did by giving him the very best that she had at that time. This obviously meant something to Jesus. Maybe even taught him something of great value. Soon we'll discover what it taught him. So as we go back to chapter 13 with the story that we just read, Jesus and his disciples are together. No one else around but them. But them. Jesus at this time would do to his disciples what was done to him. See, this didn't leave the mind of Jesus immediately. I believe during the process, during from his feet washing to the time that they're at now, it was on the mind of Jesus. Because this time, he brings us forth. And so what he was going to do to them, he was going to begin to wash their very feet. This is very important for us to note here. Because in verse number 2, it says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." What I want to point out here is Jesus would also wash the feet of Judas, who would shortly thereafter betray him for just a little bit of money that would only satisfy him temporarily. One by one, Jesus begins to attend to each of his disciples' feet. Not faced with any rejection until the time he gets to Peter. We see this in verse number 8. Peter saith unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." I can almost just imagine Peter at this point in time saying, "Lord, are you crazy? Do you even know what you're doing? You're not going to touch my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Lord, I can almost hear him saying this, wash my whole body. Jesus wasn't faced with rejection only until he got to the feet of Peter's. And we got the response that we would expect from Peter. And that was a no. We laugh. But let me ask you this question. If I was to ask for volunteers tonight for the washing of feet, there would probably be a great rejection. I know this for a fact, because as I was talking to my wife last night, and as I was telling her what the Lord has laid upon my heart, I said, Chris, if I was in church tomorrow night and I came to the part and I asked you, would you allow me to wash your feet? And you know what her response was? It was no. Rightfully so, I can understand why someone might say no. But that's what Peter said. The picture here that is represented is important for us to understand. It doesn't matter what position you're in, we are here to serve. We are here to serve each other. Jesus took the time to wash the disciples' feet. I knew that I would get a rejection by folks if I was to ask for the washing of feet. But I sent out a text this afternoon and I asked if I can demonstrate on them tonight. Because it's a beautiful, beautiful picture. And I want you to see, as Jeff comes forward this evening, the picture, just go ahead and sit in that chair, the picture that is taking place. Remember, go ahead and remove your feet are not pretty to look at. And that's true. But it's a beautiful picture. And I'm going to do something tonight that I've never done in my life. Because I want you to see what Jesus did to the feet of his disciples that ministered with him for 3 years of their life. You can do both. I can just imagine Jesus getting down on his knees. And begins to think and begins to weep, knowing where those feet have been as they traveled with him for those 3 years, knowing that their time together would come to an end. What pictures does it show? I asked a friend of mine a few weeks ago, I said, what is so important about the washing of feet? He says, let me explain to you something that I did when I got married. As they came down the aisle and they exchanged their vows to one another and towards the congregation, he said, there is one act that we did at the end. He says, what I did was I washed the feet of my bride. And he goes, I'm going to show you what it really represented. Because again, I see this in Scripture. I read it, but sometimes it doesn't click. And it finally clicked with me. He said, here's the importance of this. Yes, the man signifies that he is the head of the household, that he is the leader of the family. But he is also in a place to serve the one that God has placed him over. Jesus is the King of this world. He is our Heavenly Father. And he came to serve the ones that God put him over. That's what that picture represents. And it's something I'm not going to get out of my mind. Then I thought to myself, how can I pull this off? How am I able to do this? Because I know most people would reject. But I'm thankful that I was able to get the response that I have. See, it's not only hard for me to do what I just did, but it wasn't easy for him to take his socks and shoes off in front of you to have his younger brother wash his feet. No matter who you are, no matter what position you hold, no matter what title man gives you, God puts you here to serve others. That's what it's about. That's a beautiful picture in John chapter 13. He came to serve those that he loved. And if he's able to do those things, then we should not turn our noses up at people who don't live up to our standards and our expectations in life. Because where did Jesus go? He didn't go to the desirous places. He went unto the undesirable places. And that's what we need to do in our lives. Let's go ahead and stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Thank you, Jeff, so much. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing us to see the picture of what it truly means to serve each other. It's not always glamorous. It's not always what we think it is. Sometimes it's the undesirable things. But God, you put us here to serve one another. Thank you for your love that you had for your disciples during this time of supper time. To be able to sit down and not only to meet their needs physically, but to meet their needs spiritually by serving them and showing them that they really matter to you. God, we thank you for your love tonight. We thank you for what you've done. We ask that you dismiss us tonight, watch over us, in your name, amen.